Oh, poop. Today, switch.
Please.
Gotta figure out what perks of OBS, right? This makes for great recording on the audio because you know I'm not editing it, but I gotta figure out what.
It makes people's drive easier in the morning because they don't have to hear music right off the bat. They can turn it on and be like, all right, I'm not hearing music. It's kind of words coming out first, and then I'll hear music.
I somehow I don't even know what's going on with that. Okay, we're gonna pick one. I have
And
one.
thankfully, you
Go
do
ahead.
all of it, and I don't do any of it. Because I'd be like, yep, and that's the show.
I got it. I got one Nick. Well, I've got multiple Nicks, but I only have one active, but somehow it's got multiple IPsix addresses assigned to it outside of the link local address, and I really don't know why. So, but alas, we're good. We're ready to go. It's just a thing, I guess. So, let's go.
Let's do it.
Maybe. Oh, no, I got the audio going through the wrong channel too. Damn, we're off to a great start. We haven't even gotten started yet, and we are approximately, I don't even know how many minutes into this. All right, let's try this
Two.
again. Two? Something like that. Where is it? There it is. All right, let's try again. Welcome to Beerfield. I am your host at Beerfield Hop, Chris Hopper with two P's. As always, joined by Ryan Miner underscore FFP at Beerfield Theory. Maybe joining us later. He had a dinner and beer pairing and stuff tonight. So you get the two of us for right now. Ryan, welcome.
It's going to be a fun night. Not going to lie. I mean, Thursday night football's on, but why watch that when you can be watching us or hanging out with us?
We probably play football better than the two teams that are playing right now. Carolina is up on the Bears 10-3 by way of a punt return touchdown from Amir Smith-Marset. So that's yay. That's about all.
That's the only scoring that actually counts.
Yeah, otherwise it's two field goals. So woohoo. If you're watching that dumpster fire. We've got news for you because of course we do. We've got we're gonna check in on some of the NFL standings, some of the mid-year stuff, and do a dynasty check-in on rookies. Ryan just did a redraft article, a redraft of the 2023 draft class. You can find that at fffaceoff.com along with a lot of other great written content. But you know, Dan's not here. I'm sure he'll have good beer when he gets back. Ryan and I though, we got good beer right now.
What's fueling beer fueled?
Pearson Kelsey in the booth on his bye week for Thursday Night Football, by the way.
Yeah, he didn't mention it on the New Heights that he was going
to
be in.
I haven't gotten
Chicago
to listen to New Heights yet. Work has been hell. I'm listening to it tomorrow while I'm brewing. It's a great part about podcasts. I can listen to them whenever, but
exactly.
I'm making beer tomorrow. So I'll turn it on in the garage while I'm doing that. All right now.
All right now.
All right. What do you got? Looks
I haven't. It is green. Actually, I have Arbor Brewing, which is out of Ann Arbor, Michigan. It is their Buzzsaw West Coast IPA.
Nice. West Coast. So a little more malty, a little piney. I'm going more unique. This is really the only commercially available style of this beer that I'm aware of. At least it's got any form of distribution to it. I'm drinking Two Brothers, Domaine du Page. So this is a beer de garde, which is a, they call it a French style country ale. It's a malty, clean, somewhat dry, somewhat higher ABVs most of the time. French ale. So more
what
on
beer
that.
Is that called again?
It's called Beer de Garde. Is that a from two brothers out of Warrenville, Illinois? It is Domaine DuPage. Domaine DuPage is the name of the beer. Beer de Garde's the style. So French country ale. It's a classic style or classic European style, but classic example of the style for the PJCP. And again, one of the only widely distributed ones. So there's not really. I'm actually curious if they have any other listed since I got the page pulled up. Couple, but nothing I've ever seen. Russian River is probably the other one that's most popular. They're out in Colorado, or not Colorado, California. They do like Pliny the Elder and stuff. I think it, I got to check that now. I think they're in California, but I'm second guessing myself.
Yeah, my, like mine's right down the road. Mine's like 15, 20 minutes away because yeah, I've actually been the actual brewery.
Yeah, no, I'm drinking it at a Warrenville, which I'm pretty sure it's Illinois beer, but I'm pretty sure Warrenville is up Chicago area. Yeah, outside of Chicago. What, more Naperville. So, yeah, we'll see what Dan shows up with, and more on these about midway through the episode as Cole Kmet makes a catch over the 45-yard line. Let's go ahead.
Gross.
Now, Cole Kmet is having a hell of a stretch. Somebody posted his last 17 game stats, and he's at like 770 yards and 7 touchdowns. That's easily top 5 tight end range. So
it doesn't take much to be a top 5 tight end anymore.
No, it does not. But that is that sweet spot tier that's not elite, but not swapping around all the freaking time. He's been pretty consistent.
News.
All right. James Conner is back in practice. He's trending towards playing. He is limited right now. Amari DiMicardo is still sidelined. Kyler Murray also going to make his return this week from IR. So a little Cardinals check in there. When Conner gets back, he should assume lead back roles. But Kyler Murray should be a boost to most of the pass catchers in that offense.
All right. This whole offense is going to nice jump. I mean, we're looking at Hollywood Brown. He should easily be wide receiver 2 this week because Dobbs, as inconsistent as he was, he overthrew Hollywood Brown many times where it could have been a first down, it could have been a touchdown. So we could see a nice bounce back coming out of Hollywood Brown. And I think, what was it, when Kyler Murray was healthy, I think he was averaging almost 16, over 16 PPR points, Hollywood Brown was. So
yeah,
let's see if that bounce back happens.
I expect it to. The other guy that I'm watching that's free out there on waivers, so if you're looking for maybe somebody that could have a little bit of a late season run, Michael Wilson has been getting pretty consistent target volume. He's been up in the 6 target range with the second stringers. So you expect the pass volume to go up a little bit with Kyler Murray. And, you know, this is a big outside receiver that can work downfield a bit. So that's somebody I would definitely keep an eye on and maybe make a preemptive claim on if you've got the churn spot is somebody that could fall into a startable role in, you know, wide receiver 2, 3, 4 flex type range throughout the back part of the season. I'd expect to see him take off a little bit.
He's been getting the work. I want to look at too is Trey McBride.
Yeah, Trey McBride, the tight end, has also been taking steps in the right direction. So just a couple guys in that offense that should see a boost into relevance with Murray back. But they've had the snap share, they've had the targets, they just haven't necessarily had the QB performance. Sorry.
Or the winning record. I mean, like one of the best 1-8 teams I've ever seen.
Yeah, right?
You know?
That's what part of why I wanted to do like division standings check-ins and stuff, because there are some teams that are like the Cardinals. I was like, how have they only won one game? Because there's a lot made about how well Josh Dobbs was playing with them, and we saw him, you know, really, really put in a gutsy performance for the Vikings last week. So,
yeah, out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
And like 1% of maybe like fantasy managers started because those people either forgot or they quit playing fantasy football for the year. So, congratulations to them on getting it. Yeah.
Well, and but also he wasn't supposed to start. He wasn't supposed to play. He'd been in town for 3 days. Jaren Hall got hurt, and
he's a rocket scientist, man. He knows it all.
Yeah, I mean, there was no reason to start him in that game. So, fantasy managers didn't get a lot out of that, but it was fun to watch. It was one of the more fun things to keep an eye on, I think. Another level of fun, actually. Not that Kiami Fairbairn's hurt, but Dare Ogunbowale kicking off and kicking field goals. They did sign Matt Amendola, who will take over the kicker duties this week with Fairbairn not even practicing right now. But always fun when you get to watch a position player kick. He wasn't bad at it.
No, he actually nailed one, like, right down the center, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, from 29. And, you know, they pointed out that, you know, they lost that game basically by what would have been the difference in extra points in the field goal they didn't kick. I mean, I almost think after watching him kick that one, maybe they should have just let him kick.
I would just let it go. Yeah. What do you have to lose?
Right. I mean, if your percentage, I mean, maybe they didn't feel this way, but I think your percentage is higher letting him kick from 35, given how the fact that he had room from 29 than you are, you know, but anyway, or 37 or whatever. I mean, let him kick it. Let him try to pooch one through.
Exactly. But, let's have some fun with it.
Yeah. Anyway, can't do anything about that. But yeah, there's your kicker news. Bengals, Jamar Chase has a back injury. The next that is going to require some monitoring. He took a hard hit against the Bills and says he's going to play, but there was a lot of ifs and uncertainties about how much in his statement. Is feeling better, so that's definitely a monitor situation. T. Higgins will not be playing. So Tyler Boyd, Trenton Irwin are the next two up in that offense. Trenton Irwin, I think, saw the majority of the work after Higgins went down, even majority of the target volume anyway. So,
and who's oh, that's Hudson. I'm trying to see what other maybe the other rookies will make it in. What's that guy's name? Gosh,
Yoshivis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Andrea Ivochevich, and then Charlie Jones, maybe.
Well, that would be fun. Bengals always seem to have people like that I just want to see get in the game.
They just come out of nowhere.
Yeah. I want that to happen. Damian Pierce is going to miss another game, so Devin Singletary will start there. Drake London is fully back at practice for Taylor Heinicke, another guy that should see a boost with the quarterback change. Unfortunately, didn't get to realize that last week, but the way Heinicke played, I would definitely expect London to see boost. David Montgomery is back practicing in full. Go ahead. I know you had some thoughts on this last week.
On David Montgomery? Sorry, like everything like broke up. My internet connection just went down. You froze, and then you were like talking like 100 miles a minute, and I'm like, huh?
Oops.
What the heck's going on with my computer right now? About David Montgomery coming back? I love it. And Jahmyr Gibbs is going to take a step back. People have to understand that. Yes, he had those two good games, but let's remember last year when Jamal Williams went out and DeAndre Swift had his good games too. It's the same thing. The Lions are going to go back to it. It's okay. Dave McGurman, RB1. I'm going to put Gibbs as a high-end RB2, though.
He's going to get work, and the thing with his skill set is that he's efficient enough to live off of that, really. I mean, if he's getting 12 to 15 touches a game, he can live off of that.
Oh yeah, especially I mean the pass catching ability he has.
Yeah,
and mind you, like even when Montgomery was out, Craig Reynolds was still making a huge like impact too on the running back touches.
Right.
Yeah, he wasn't doing as much efficient with him, but he was still getting 10 to 12. So I just see Gibbs getting the majority of that now.
Yeah. And that's totally fine for a flex with RB2 upside, given his home run ability.
Yep.
And his ability to make people miss. So just don't freak out too much about that, but don't fade Montgomery too hard either.
No, because people are going to look at his stats and say, you know, Gibbs had 18 less carries, yet he has 14 more rushing yards, but 4 less rushing touchdowns. So don't look too much into that, because Montgomery is definitely that boost that they need, especially on the goal line. Because Gibbs can push it in, but it's just hard for him to push it in like the way Montgomery can.
Indeed. Tyrod Taylor said his rib injury is not season ending, but Daniel Jones' knee injury is definitely season ending. That's torn ACL for Daniel Jones. The Giants signed Matt Barkley to their active roster, Jacob Eason to the practice squad. So, and Tommy DeVito to start, at least for now.
I feel so bad for everyone who was like excited to get Tommy DeVito right now, because I watched him play and I'm like, oh my gosh. It's like, I'd rather have Daniel Jones on one leg than Tommy DeVito.
No, I would too. Tommy DeVito's terrible. No, I had to pick Tommy DeVito up somewhere, but
I wouldn't even pick him up. It's, let him be someone else's headache.
Yeah, I'm desperation. But yeah, he's pretty terrible.
Yeah, that's being nice too.
Good thing he doesn't really hurt anybody in New York that was fantasy relevant, because they never had a pass catcher hit that level this year.
No, I mean, this basically Saquon Barkley's offense, and that's it.
And it still is. Starter gets hurt, changes nothing.
Nope.
Justin Jefferson, his practice window is open. However, no date for his return. Not expected to play this week, maybe next week for him. KJ Osborne not practicing with a concussion. So Brandon Powell is going to assume wide receiver two duties behind Jordan Addison in that offense. With Josh Dobbs at the helm, I would assume.
And then you also heard, too, that what the heck's his name? God damn, everything keeps slipping my mind right now. Oh, TJ Hockenson has that abdomen rib injury still, so it's still kind of bugging him. So could he take a little bit of a step back this week?
Nah, I don't think so. He's,
you don't think so?
Yeah. And you know damn well he'll play.
Oh, he's going to play.
Yeah, he'll play. He'll be fine. It's a rib. Pain management. He'll be okay. Nico Collins not practicing. That could lead more to more Noah Brown work, which he blew up last week, so that's not nothing. Noah Brown had some good games last year for the Cowboys, too. So, just hasn't strung it together yet. He's been around for a long time at this point. But, you know, if you're looking for a fill-in, got a bye week, whatever. Not a bad
option. He's more of a deep league, more of a deep league fill-in, in my mind.
Yeah. I mean, you're probably not guaranteed a ton, but yeah, that is top wide receiver down there. Tank Dell also probably going to benefit from that, though. Quite a bit.
Oh, absolutely.
Deebo Samuel back in practice for the 49ers. They said he would miss 2 weeks. He did miss 2 weeks back after the bye. Good news for them. They've been struggling. Tampa Bay is down multiple cornerbacks. So normally we don't talk defense here, but we saw what C.J. Stroud did to them last week, and they're down Carlton Davis, Jamel Dean, and backup Josh Hayes right now. So definitely something to keep an eye on as they play Tennessee and Will Levis this week. DeAndre Hopkins could be in for a big game.
Yeah, because he's been in – he's actually had – I mean, he didn't have a big game last week, but he's been getting the targets. So the way he's been getting the targets – let's see, game log – he had 6 targets last week and then 4 targets the week before, but still, I mean, the way they were passing the last 2 weeks, that's not bad for him.
No, not at all.
Oh, whoops. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong one. Yeah, so he had 4 receptions last week. Yeah, 4 receptions week before.
Well, could be good. I don't really want to gamble on any other pass catcher there, but
Hopkins, no, he's sure. All I want.
Yeah. Flurry of Rams roster moves. Kyren Williams looks like he's set to come off of IR potentially. I didn't actually come across that in the news, but the moves that they made suggest it. And I think he is. I think I remember seeing Sleeper come through with it, right?
He can't. So this is their bye week. So this week does not count against his. Yes. So next week is his final week, so he's eligible to come back week 13, right? No, yeah. 10, 11, week 12.
12.
We're on week 10 now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, one more week. I was thinking the same thing, and I was like, oh, yeah, next week he'll be back, so I'm going to drop Daryl Henderson, and people are like, wait, he can't come back. I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, man, stupid rules.
Yeah. Got to miss 4 games.
Yeah, literally 4 games, not just 4 weeks.
Yeah, which, that's okay. Yeah, that's okay. So keep paying attention to that. The Rams did make a flurry of roster moves, though. Carson Wentz signed to back up Matthew Stafford. Apparently, they didn't like what they saw in Brent Rippon. Bum UCL for Stafford, which, you know, does have some impacts. I'd expect him to be back after the bye, though. He plays through a lot of shit. They did release Brent Rippon and Dresser Wynn, so that explains the Carson Wentz signing, because they released their other two quarterbacks, and then they also released Miles Gaskin, who was brought in when Kyron Williams went on IR for some added depth. So, just some housekeeping moves there for them. The Titans have named Will Levis their starting quarterback the rest of the way. Ryan Tannehill's the backup. Right move?
Might as well. I mean, what do you have to lose right now?
Well, and that's exactly it. See what you got, right? Because the Titans are
3-5.
Yeah, which, I mean, with the Jags being 6-2, everybody else is quickly falling out of that division race. So, yep. You know, might as well, you see what you got, right? And then go from there. You know, if you can go on a heater, then wild card might still be in reach. But Ryan Tannehill wasn't getting it done. Levis had a good game. And, you know, at this point, it's all about development and trying to expedite a rebuild.
And plus, Will Levis has two more touchdowns than Ryan Tannehill does. So,
yeah.
Take that for what it's worth.
Yep. And Cam Akers tore his other Achilles. So, left one this time, right one was the one last time. So,
dude, I don't know. I mean, is that a career ender? I feel like it's, I mean, he's 23, 24, I want to say. It sucks.
Getting a practice squad invite or a camp invite, but the hard part for him is that he's now torn two Achilles and had some flash in the pan games without really establishing anything. And that's the tough part. It's not like, you know, I mean, we saw Marlon Mack get some chances and fail to latch on after tearing his, having more pass productivity than Akers has. Deonta Foreman tore his Achilles way early in his career. I think it was year one, and has bounced around and been very, very productive. So, but Cam Akers, I really do think, I don't think he's going to send him into retirement, but if he has another fantasy relevant game in his lifetime, I will be surprised.
Yeah, I think he's done. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hi.
Hey, what are you drinking?
Oh, buddy. So I got some Jackie O's.
Oh,
for
buddy.
Those of you, Ryan, you should be familiar. Never mind, they're in Ohio.
Same
Jackie O's is out of Ohio. I want to say Athens. Maybe they also pronounce it Athens. I don't know.
Is Athens up there?
Okay. Yeah, smartly. Yeah. Athens, Ohio. So this is their 20-year aged Imperial Stout in bourbon barrels. They don't say which barrels they use, which is pretty common. But this is a straight Imperial Stout aged for 20 months in bourbon barrels. No adjuncts added. 14.9%, which is fucking crazy after a whole beer dinner's worth of beer that I've ate and drank. So it's going to be good. I won't be Hopper's levels of drunk from 3 years ago, but
I don't even think I can get to that level anymore.
I have a very, very good buzz, and this nice.
All right, let's keep it going then.
Let's keep it
huge
going.
Fan of Jackie O's again.
Me too.
If you like, you know, if you love craft beer, and they're more known too for their, you know, kind of wacky, kind of wild ale fermented and stuff like that. They have to use, you know, a bunch of weird fungi and stuff in their beers, but these guys are about as beer nerd as you can get. And if you find your stuff in your local areas, right, you may be able to find them in yours too. Highly recommend picking them up. Very, very good stuff.
I might find them just north of the border of me. Yeah. I know a place that actually carries a lot of Ohio beer, so maybe I'll stop in there. I'm gonna wait to Cedar Point one of these times and get it.
You should. They do a wide range, right? They'll do pretty much everything. They're just a very, very, very good craft brewery.
Indeed. Hey, anything news-wise you want to talk about? Because we just got to the end of it.
You guys briefly talked about Cam Akers when I jumped in. Super devastating, right? Obviously. Yeah. Second Achilles injury, you know, for him. And I agree. If he ever has a fantasy relevant game again, I think that's just a win for the medical industry to get him back up and ready again. he pretty much played a damn near perfect game too. Like he had a crazy block. I will say this, the Josh Dobbs performance in that game was within the context of the whole scope was maybe the greatest quarterback performance I've ever seen. So
we talked about how gutsy and that was and how fun it's that just, was. It's like, just as a fan, that was pretty awesome.
No practice. He's learning plays literally while they're happening. It's just, Rocket you scientist. Can't like, yeah, you yeah. cannot. That's like, that is, it's so unbelievable to like, you know, think about just how impossible that would be for most people.
Not when you're a rocket scientist.
In his position. Yeah. Right. Like he is new Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? He's a new super smart, you know, bridge quarterback that's going to be in the league for a long time just because he can do stuff like this. So
he maybe wishes that he is maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick wishes he was the Josh Dobbs with the NFL right now and walk
if
right in.
If he can have a Fitzpatrick career, that'd be
great for him.
Yeah.
This is almost like, you know, Baker did this last year too with the Rams, right? He joined the Rams midweek and, you know, played Thursday night and, you know, did a comeback victory against the Jets. But
and doubling
practice with the ones
and doubling back on that has to be one of the reasons that the Rams were enticing to Carson Wentz when they came calling, because McVay can get him back on track, you know, we don't know that Stafford's going to miss any meaningful time or give him a chance to start or anything like that, but it immediately improves their backup quarterback situation and it puts him with a coach that, you know, already has one high round draft pick reclamation project who's playing good football this year after leaving LA.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for, you know, for a quarterback that can take to a playbook quickly, right? Mm-hmm. There's a very important spot for those guys, especially, you know, mid-season, in-season. So,
yeah.
Otherwise, I don't think there's any other big news, right?
Not really. Kyler coming off IR, Levis taking over for Tannehill. And that was the worst situation ever. I don't know if we were wrong on Levis yet. I think it's still too early. You got one good game.
I know.
It's pretty mad game. And he's going to go up against Tampa Bay down three of their top cornerbacks right now. So
it's he looks a lot more ready. Like he looks a lot more like I expected him to be a lot more erratic.
Yeah.
Which, well, I guess you can give to coaching for sure.
Yeah,
but you know, and that falls a lot on Levis too.
He's in a good coaching infrastructure with Vrabel there.
Yeah,
so
it's plus they just throw him in the lineup too.
Yeah, it's the anti-Bears where they just they're just actively tanking. I feel like they're driving now, which is good.
Hey, either way, we win tonight. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, this is the 101 Super Bowl, I guess.
Yeah, we can't lose.
We literally can't lose this game.
We got both picks.
It's like me and
what would be the better outcome? Like, would them losing be the better outcome? To keep it more aligned? Because the Giants are going to probably tank.
Them losing
without Daniel
Jones
for the rest of the year.
Them losing is the better outcome to me because the Bears already have that second win. With Daniel Jones out the rest of the year and the Cardinals at 1-8 right now, I'd prefer to keep the Panthers at 1 win.
There's no way that the Cardinals are going to at least win a couple games with Murray. Right. So.
Giants are 2-7. Panthers are 1-7. Cardinals are 1-8.
Giants may not win another game for the year.
Patriots are 2-7. So I guess either way.
The Giants are going to win a game that they shouldn't win. That's what's going to happen.
They'll win. Yeah, they'll beat the Jets again, or they'll win some improbable game against the Dolphins or Patriots. It's just
some field goal game of field goals.
It's some like it's some AFC East, you know, bullshit. Josh Allen throws 6 interceptions or something.
Yeah,
that one I can see.
Bears are gonna win another game or two here as well too. They should.
Yeah. Well, that's if they let him play or not.
Well,
we'll see.
They should.
They should.
I like the Tyson Bagent story, and I think he is generally executing the offense pretty well. There's another reception for Cole Kmet, but he doesn't have the athletic prowess that
it's just he is. He's definitely making the most of his opportunity. Like I think he has earned himself an opportunity to be a bridge quarterback.
Yeah,
at some point, like he is a pure backup. Yeah.
Heineke. He's one hell of a backup too.
There's some Heineke to his game for sure. There's some, yeah. You know, there's some Minshew-esque like things, right? He can run, he can throw,
good timing.
He's probably smart. Like, yeah, he's got tattoos. Like, he's good. He's fine.
He'll be good. Yeah. He'll be okay. I mean, he's a rookie undrafted pick who doesn't look lost as a backup quarterback in the league and just did a hell of a job avoiding a strip sack. I'm obviously a little bit behind, but I mean, easily could have been a fumble there. All right.
And plus, didn't he stand out at the Senior Bowl, if I'm correct?
He stood out at the Senior Bowl. He was a UDFA D2 quarterback, but he completely dominated D2. And the skills he's showing now are what showed up on film. So, I mean, like everything checks out to where, like, okay, I think they don't have a franchise quarterback here, but you definitely got a very good backup quarterback here. That could be a journeyman bridge quarterback in the future, a lot like Heineke or Case Keenum was, or some of those guys, Fitzpatrick. So, anyway, anything else there before we jump into? I won't do the beer review just yet. So, anything else in the news?
No.
Okay.
Not off the top of my head.
Anybody have trades to talk about? I have none.
I have nothing good.
No, we're in trade deadline mode, right? We're in the maybe early part of it, week 10.
Yeah, like some people, I have some leagues that start today or start this week. We other leagues end next week.
The most exciting I did was Gus Edwards for a 2025 third. So that's the most.
What do you get a second for him after his week? He's been good the last 2 weeks.
I could have, but I tried that the week before. Yeah,
I know.
Wasn't necessarily getting bites on that. So Cap actually messaged me when I did that and was like, I wanted to make sure that wasn't a kid or anything like that, that you're really doing that. And I'm like, dude, I'm a rebuilding team that's on the upswing. Wide receivers are there. Quarterbacks are there. Running backs are the last thing you fill in. Edwards is a 28-year-old running back that isn't going to do anything for me.
Yep.
And this is knowing your league, right? It's an IDP league with what I feel are benches that are about four spots too short that does 6-round drafts.
I will be asking for extended benches again this year.
I want extended benches because if you're going to do a 6-round draft, your bench can't be that short because quite honestly, with the picks that I have, because I have them stacked right now, if I can't move up, I'm passing on things because I'm not dropping players just to accommodate draft picks.
You were where I was last year when I was basically where you were, and I was planning on being the same spot this year until I got the Hurts and Jefferson trade, and I completely changed my trajectory. And obviously, getting Breeze and ETN and stuff like that helped. But it's shallow benches should not be a thing in Dynasty.
They need to add 3 to 4 bench spots and probably drop 2 rounds off the rookie draft.
Yes,
I'm gonna ask for 3. I'm fine with 6 if we can just extend the benches.
Yeah,
I get why. Right, that's 72 players with ID. We know what the full IDP, but I probably agree. I think at least one round would be reduced.
Okay, fine. Go to 5 rounds and give us 3 bench spots because
we need at least extended benches for sure.
Yeah, because right now you're dropping people that don't need to be dropped. Like, the waiver wire is too deep and that shouldn't be a thing in Dynasty.
Should be super thin.
Yeah. So
I don't think I have any other. I've had a bunch of trade offers, but nothing to write home. A
couple people I want to unload. I want to unload Diggs. I saw you had AJ Brown on the trade block, and I considered talking to you about that, but at the same time, I don't think I would be willing to
know
what you're going to have.
Is that in your league? Is that in the kickers league?
Yeah.
I need to probably remove that. I am.
I saw where you were at. And I'm like, you're going to be a playoff team, and the only thing I could offer that would maybe be enticing is a package involving Breece Hall, and I'm going to be a playoff team, so I'm not looking to do that. So.
Yeah. A lot of Breece Hall. This is the reason why that I have Breece Hall in so many leagues. I bought the discount, and obviously, see, this past week was a bit rough, but a lot of offers to run in Breece Hall, especially in redrafts.
I bet. Yeah, redraft. I'm not doing. I got a question this week. It's like, all right, I'm 3-6. What do I do? Find your best player and trade him for lottery tickets, my man.
Hopefully, you play in a league. Try to go deeper. Force. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if it's keeper dynasty, then just move off of players that won't have the value next year.
Yep.
Just move off your 1 year rentals for.
This is why
third, second, or first.
This is why I'm an advocate for playoff spots for points four, though, too.
Yeah.
I love it. It's my favorite.
I agree.
Although that's I look at lose, my, and then I get pissed.
Although I looked at my dynasty league right now, and actually that wouldn't do a damn, that rule doesn't do a damn thing the way the standings are at the moment. The six team is the sixth highest scoring team. So
is that me?
I don't think it was.
I don't know if I'm the sixth. I think I'm the fifth.
It is here. I'll tell you.
Morgan's on a high streak again, just coming for his repeat.
Yeah, Morgan's on a hot streak, which he's the one. He got in and won because of that rule last year.
Yeah, he. It's a good rule. And he always likes to. He'll ask me. He goes, "Man, my team sucks, man. I don't know what I should do." I'm like, "How about just fucking wait and see what happens?"
Yeah. Because your team doesn't suck.
It is. No, it's not me. I'm just outside of that spot.
No, it is Dan Snow.
Yeah, it's Snow. I'm 20 points below him in a rough week because this is like bipocalypse right now.
It is.
Eagles, the Chiefs.
Yeah.
It's a rough week.
This week and last week were terrible for that. But yeah. Actually, Morgan would be most in danger of getting bounced if he were to fall in the sixth spot.
Who's best Ventura 43?
That is Steve Miller, buddy of mine.
Yeah, he has
my cousin. He's 9-0.
Yeah, he has the least points scored against him. That's why he's 9-0.
Well,
he also is scoring the most points in the league right now.
Yeah,
I'm only 11 points behind him.
I'm just saying he's also
7-2.
He's also the highest scoring team. He's
and I've had 100 more points scored on me than he has.
Yeah, no.
That's really gonna suck when I beat you next week. Isn't it?
You pick better opponents, Ryan. God.
I got to run against both of you in that league. I got you this week, Dan, and Ryan next week. And
I have more points scored against me than you, Ryan.
Even if you win, Chris, I'll still be ahead of you because based on points.
You don't know
because I'm up by.
We got a wow. Is it what week 15's the playoffs?
Yeah,
that's what I do. I drink and I know things. Okay.
Hey, you don't know that I'm not gonna outscore you by 100 and some odd points over the next 2 weeks.
I am gonna kick the living shit out of your team. Don't worry. Actually, yeah. I won't. My players is
a little shit.
Ryan, what are you drinking for your beer? You seem feisty.
It's a West Coast IPA. Are you sure?
West Coast. Look at you. Growing up from Hazy to West Coast.
And it's
is it from
one,
Founders?
Too.
Is it from Founders too? Okay, good.
Arbor Brewing.
Okay.
Arbor.
Local, right? Local.
Yeah. Oh, very local.
I've got a Domain DuPage, by the way.
Ooh, two brothers.
Yeah, little Beardegard. Getting
little
weird.
Beard, yeah.
Getting weird. All right. I want to talk surprise teams real quick.
Surprise teams.
Yeah, let's go division by division. Just a little bit because I haven't checked in on this at all. AOC East right now. I think my most surprising thing here is that the Bills are hovering right around 500.
I'm honestly not shocked. I don't think they've drafted well at all.
Well, yeah.
And their lack of a number two receiving option until this year with Kincaid.
Well,
the defense has aged out.
Kincaid, Shakir's been actually coming on the last week or two.
He's finding his footing.
They
have a lot of threes and fours. There's no real two to Diggs.
Davis.
No. They had an opportunity to get many twos also, and they pass up
on
all of them every time. Every time.
They got pissed. Yeah, well, he's not a two, though.
He's a two.
He's not a two. He's a three. How many points did he score last week?
How many
zero
did he score the 2 weeks before that?
Probably more than zero. I hope so.
More than zero.
He's actually been like more. I don't know.
I think he's only really had one dud week this year.
He's been a lot more floor. which is up your alley, but it's not been the Gabe Davis of known. But then again, throwing the goose egg on Sunday night.
Oh, that was gross.
That was rough.
Pissed.
That was
I needed that too.
That whole game was gross. But that's
the two in that offense is Kincaid. He's become the real two.
And with Knox out, he's had a chance to fly on that. And yeah, I take that back. Davis has had one good game in the last four. So
his role is his role. It does come down to just
he's one of the best
whiffing
YOLO
on some
plays.
Of these important picks. Yeah, it's a great offense.
You can make. He has value.
Yeah, and Josh Allen, he'll have those games where it all clicks, right? Yeah. You will live and die by Josh Allen. Like that's who he is.
Yeah.
And it's a very difficult division too, outside of the Patriots. The Jets remain competitive because their defense is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
How are they a 500 team? It blows my mind with
how can I say defense. This with respect, but Robert Saleh has done an absolutely atrocious job in replacing the quarterback. Like, how can you go into the last couple of week three or four with Zach Wilson? How have you not tried to bring somebody else in or trade for somebody? Like I get that Rodgers is potentially coming back because of his remarkable recovery, which should make even more sense to try to trade for someone to be a better replacement and not waste his defense, not waste, Garrett Wilson.
Have you seen Salah's face? I feel like when the camera puts on him, and he's crying.
It's shocking to me. I get you want to stick to Wilson. I get that, but. This is one of the best defenses in the league. They're that fucking good. And you just, piss it away almost with Wilson.
Fair enough. Other than the Chiefs and the Ravens and the Browns,
Browns have good defense too, though.
Pretty well allowing the fewest points in the AFC. So,
absolutely 5 points.
Jaguars are right with them. So,
it's not as bad as the Broncos last year. I guess, Jets fans have that. We're not as bad as the Broncos.
Yep. Dolphins are winning that division, though. There's nothing there that's, incredibly surprising.
My prediction was the Dolphins this year.
I think the Dolphins are taking that.
The Dolphins are struggling to beat teams that are over 500, so let's see.
Hey, who do you got taking it?
I can still see the Bills jumping up there and taking it.
It's going to be a fun ride. Yeah, it's going to be a very fun.
Probably fun down the stretch.
They can beat the Raiders.
They were my AFC pick for the Super Bowl was the Dolphins.
I think they're still going to they're going to struggle at the Jets just because of that defense. They got the Commander, so it's going to be it could be a shootout. The Titans in week 14, the Jets again in week 15, Dallas in week 16, and then Baltimore week 17.
Well, if they go out of that stretch winning a bunch of games, they're going to look really fucking good to go to the playoffs.
And then end it with the
Ravens.
Ravens
also look extremely fucking good right now. So
the Bills, though, have Eagles, Chiefs, Cowboys, Chargers, and the Dolphins again on their remaining schedule. Is
tough schedule.
Teams they're playing. The Bills have a much harder schedule.
Bills have that first place schedule from last year. Money's on the Dolphins, but that's why the AFC is so tough, right? It's
a lot of good teams.
Lottery teams everywhere.
Dolphins, but don't be surprised if it's
look at the AFC North. They're all above 500.
They are,
right? Are they? They are, right? Yeah. Should be.
Yep. 3-5-3s, and then the Ravens. It's 7-2.
Fucking, how is Pittsburgh? How is Pittsburgh 5-3?
Yeah, if there was
explain that to me. How is that possible?
They look so fucking bad. They're a lot like the Jets. They're giving up.
They are
giving up more points than they're scoring, but somehow they're.
Who have they played? They beat the Ravens. Ugly. I know that.
So they have played.
They beat the Bengals. I think they're in the bad times to start of the year. Maybe the Browns.
Their wins are. Let's see.
Because the Browns are very similar, too, right? Elite defense. Yeah. Watson apparently starting to come on, but
they beat the Browns, Raiders, lost to the Texans, beat the Ravens, beat the Rams, lost the Jags, beat the Titans. So 5-3, that might be one of the biggest surprises in that division is the Steelers at 5-3. I thought they were going to be a lot worse. Browns,
oh yeah, same here.
Hanging around there, that was anticipated. Bengals after the Burrow injury, sure, whatever, they'll be fine. Ravens at 7-2, I'm like better than you were expecting, Dan. Better than I was expecting.
Oh yeah, for sure. The Browns and the Steelers. I mean, the Browns have spent. There's so much investment into that defense, and again, as much as we shit on Watson, like at some point he was going to start having some course correction to his play. You know, the Browns got off to their historic start. So
yeah,
we'll see if they hold up. The Bengals are extremely hot right now, and the Ravens are starting to find their stride. I guess even on offense, but. Yeah. Pittsburgh being 5-3 is just what the fuck, man.
And the Ravens allowed the least amount of points so far too at 124, which leads the league.
That's why they're where they're at. And then, you know, is my sanity checks this, but the eye test says that step, it's been a little quiet, but the eye test says that step everybody was expecting Lamar to take is a passer. He's taken. He's at 253 attempts already on the season, pacing for easily his highest pass attempts of his career. He's got a 71% completion percentage. So that would easily be his highest of his career. TD rates, lowest since his rookie season, but interception rate, also lowest since his rookie season. So he's taking some steps as a passer like we were anticipating you would, and without really having a breakout receiver yet. Pass yards per game, second highest in his career right now. Second highest quarterback rating of his career behind his MVP season. Like he's doing some nice things as a passer. And I think that's also helping them, right? That's why they made the OC change. You wanted him to develop a little bit there. He's not been nearly as banged up. He's trending still for about 160 rushes and 800 and some odd yards, which is still really, really good. Like it's not the heights of his MVP season, but I think it's the most solid season that we've seen from Lamar all around.
It's a more efficient season. Yeah, he's not throwing as many interceptions. He's not
a lot more well-rounded.
You can definitely tell, like, if you watch the games, you can definitely tell.
Yeah,
that he's matured and he wants to rush to extend the pocket to extend the play out more, and it just it's those little moments, right? They have the best receiving core they've had in a very long time, with a healthy Odell and Bateman. And Flowers and Andrews, it's just, the defense has always been young, healthy, and very energetic and just very aggressive. That's been their style for the longest of times. And if it all clicks and stays, it remains the same, they're going to be a very difficult team to beat. Like they pair up well against any style of team that they'll play. And, we'll see if it make something happen or not.
Yeah,
man, just look what they did against the Lions.
Yeah,
that's
just Lions are also on the right path. They're just a very young team.
Yeah, and the thing with them is that if they can get with Andrews and Flowers, and they can get Odell healthy and going like he started to, kind of like we saw last week, then they're as dangerous as anybody with that defense, because they can match up with Kansas City and potentially Miami and Buffalo and Cincy. And we've seen what Lamar can do to keep up and break a game open. I mean, they're sneaky dangerous. I don't think anybody expected them to be 7-2. I think people perceived the defense was going to be worse, and it didn't end up happening that way. And I mean, they're, tied with the Chiefs for best record in the AFC right now.
And they, I mean, they've almost looked like the better team. The Chiefs, their defense has been fucking phenomenal. Like, they have carried the struggle of that offense, which is so alarming to me.
Yeah,
that the Chiefs didn't want to make a play for any, you know, they traded or they brought back Mecole Hardman. Like, that was their only move to help improve that offense. And that's shocking to me because of how good that team could be if they found just some consistency there.
Yeah.
Alongside exactly. Kelce. Like, it's not like Rocky Rice. He's been good, right? He's been fine, but
he's not playing enough snaps.
Not explosive.
Yeah. Though. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it.
And to not even have a guy like, you know, Juju last year, you know, that can be your other possession guy to at least help with that, you know, with that part of the field. It's just shocking to me that the Chiefs are like decided to, you know, to not make a move in that, you know, during the trade deadline. It's just, yeah.
And yep. You see when Kelce's out, he like that team struggles.
Yeah, he's hurt too. Like, yeah, you know, maybe so some distraction like, a little bit, you know, for some reason, but you know, yeah.
It's like, do it's something here, guys.
He plays better when she's around.
Right, yeah. Maybe that's why he needs that but distraction there.
With his next year's draft class, maybe they spend a first-round pick on a wide receiver now because wide receivers look deep as
I mean,
is.
We've been saying that for, what, 2-3 years at this point? Well, you know, since
do they do it on the right wide receiver? That's the other thing they don't get enough flack for is they've spent second-rounders on receivers, but the guys that they've done it on
are the wrong ones.
Or not.
They chose Sky Moore over Pickens. They,
right.
You know, I forgot who they took over Rice over, but like they've made some decisions that has not been great, and maybe like the Bills, they're starting to see some of the problems in that when you're not finding these guys to help Mahomes out,
right? And I think that's the case. Now Mahomes is doing a really good job of spreading the ball around.
Oh yeah,
that's,
yeah, he's
but he's you know Mahomes. We've seen it the last few years. We got to have somebody you can pepper with targets. So
yeah. It can't be just Kelce at 35 years old.
Yeah. AFC South, Jags are 6-2. I don't think that's a surprise. I think a lot of people expected them to be the best team in that division. I think what's more surprising is that the Texans and Colts are both actually still hovering right around 500. Texans especially. D'Amico Ryans has done a really good job there.
Yeah.
So they're taking steps.
The Jags were my dark horse once for the AFC.
Yeah,
maybe I'm not too far off from that. It looked a little rough to start the year when the team was struggling, but the Texans, I think, is the most shocking. The Colts, right? You know, not so much, but especially with the loss of Richardson, but the Texans, as you mentioned with Ryan's there, it's been incredible. Stroud's been even better than what I thought he'd be. Like, we were all very high on Stroud, so that's not shocking there, but he has looked very fucking comfortable.
Too comfortable.
And he's played 9 games. Like, that's, yeah, Ryan's too comfortable. Like, he's throwing the ball to Nico Ryan's and Tank Dell, respectively. Tank Dell's been great, but he's not throwing
Nico Collins, not Nico Ryan's. He's not throwing it to me yet. Not yet.
Nico Ryan's.
Yeah.
I mean, he has 14 touchdowns and one interception on the season. I mean, come on. Freaking nuts.
He is
insane. He's been good.
Just don't fuck it up, I guess, Houston.
Yep. NFC side of things going a little bit faster with this. I think I don't know that there's a lot of surprises in the NFC. The Saints at 5-4, but we kind of knew the NFC South was going to be a dumpster fire. The Lions at 6-2. I think we all saw them. A lot of us saw them trending upward. The Bears at 2-7, I think are worse than a lot of us thought they were going to be in the offseason with some of the improvements that they made. But
I can say the Vikings just given.
Yeah.
I thought the Vikings were going to be worse.
I thought they'd be better, but I also didn't think they would be. They start the year out 0-3.
At 5-4, I think they're about, I mean,
but it's how they got there, right?
Two off, but yeah. I mean, overall record is not too off of where I thought they were.
I thought it'd be better. I thought they'd beat the Bucks. The Chargers could be, you know,
Bucks are better than a lot of us thought they were going to be, though, too.
True. Dabbing.
I mean, they're 3-5.
And every loss was a one score game that was a 50-50. And if it wasn't for the turnovers, it'd be probably better.
Will says Bears defense tonight with their secondary back looks a lot better, because Jalen Johnson's been the only member of the secondary that's been healthy over the last 4 weeks or so. So
the Bears have some fun pieces. You get the right coach in there.
Yeah.
And I'm very interested to see what they do with their picks. If they're going to reset the QB contract or build around Fields, like I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Fields is done. I don't think so. Not yet.
I don't think so either.
I think there's probably a stronger chance than not, but I think based on how the records are there, I can definitely see them deciding to build with them. He's been hurt. He'll have his escape go. It's the same shit we'll see all over, you know, in the off season, but I will forever stand Justin Fields. So
indeed. All right. Let's do a beer review and then let's talk the rookies this year. We kind of got into thread a little bit, so let's do it.
What's fueling beer fueled?
All right, I'll go ahead and start because I need a refill. I'm drinking Two Brothers Domaine DuPage. It is a beer to guard. Beer to guards are malty with a semi-dry to dry finish, typically higher ABV. And this is a classic example, and I would say it is a classic example. It's damn good. It's got a slight perception of alcohol at 6.6%, but nothing that's too harsh at all. It's not overly sweet, but you definitely get maybe just a slight caramel, more breadiness and slight toastiness on the malt character. Not a ton of hop character other than bittering. Really, really good beer. Wish I had a fire to go with it, but really, really good beer.
Yeah. One of my favorites of that style. And
I want to hear your beer, Dan.
Mine?
Yeah.
Okay, so again, I'm drinking Jackie O's. This is, it's called Anvil Chorus. This is their Imperial style aged in bourbon barrels for 20 months. No adjuncts added, so you're getting a lot of the barley and the malt that's coming through. You're going to get a lot of the barrel that's coming through. So it's really rich in flavor, but it's not overly sweet, which is a good thing. You're going to get notes of leather and char a bit, but you got a good rich chocolate to it. And, it's one of those styles that if you particularly like darker beers, this is one that you'll want to search for. Not having adjuncts in will let the beer just be what it is and not trying to create some sort of dessert or nothing that's going to be overly sweet or potentially fake tasting. Obviously going to be really rich, dark in color. It's solid. It's a very good round out. The 14.9% is definitely going to kick and you will definitely feel it. But this, again, if you're familiar with Jackie O's, you know that they don't really make a lot of bad beers. And
did you just say 14.9?
Yep, 14.9.
Oh, dang, that adds right on your buzz that you already got going.
Yeah, like I said.
You're feeling really good tonight.
The game isn't as bad as to watch, too, but the beer's helping.
The game's pretty bad.
I like it. I'm not watching it at
all.
Come
on, Foreman. God damn it.
Like, my son and I were watching it, and he was like, yeah, this game's boring. I'm going to go play Fortnite. I'm like, all right. See ya.
Don't blame him.
I don't either. This is probably the worst in terms of matchup you could ask for a Thursday night game.
Yeah, it's definitely a snoozer. I really go watch paint dry, to be honest with you.
Oh, but it's
actually, you know what? No, I wouldn't really driving, watch paint dry.
The Bears are driving. This may actually be a game in the second half.
Get a touchdown, not on special teams?
Cole Kmet almost dropped that, but he made a play of it.
I'm a play behind.
Kmet's been
Komet's been really great. You missed it. We talked about this earlier too, where I saw earlier, like his last 17 games, he's gone for 60 receptions, 700 yards, and like 7 touchdowns, and that is good enough for a top 5 tight end season.
He is a he's coming around to being that tight end that you avoid next year, because he's going to be like a 5th or 6th round pick.
Nah, it's like, I
want the value of Komet. Yeah, no, he's been
probably great. And Schultz, yeah, and
exactly guys. The guy that you don't want to reach out that you want value for. Yeah, which is what you got from Komet this year.
Ooh, Komet almost dropped that, but he double caught.
Right, that's what I see. Yeah, I'm watching it. Well, it says live, but
no, I'm behind you.
Are they doing the push tush? They are doing the okay.
I'm just watching GameCast because I don't have TV.
I don't
down
think
here.
He got it. That was so bad.
Good Lord.
Good Lord. Like, I wasn't sure who was going to take the fucking snap, and it was you know, a Foreman, but. Yikes.
Yeah, Foreman looks like crap, but.
Is that okay?
He doesn't look like crap. He's fine.
Oh, it was Komet that took the snap.
Komet took the. Why?
And he had Foreman and Pageant, you know, that was there to push him. They got it?
They got that first down. Yeah, they gave it to him.
I'm about to watch.
Right. Sure.
Oh, yeah, it is. You can tell Komet's taking the snap. Oh, yeah, they got that.
Yeah, yeah.
He was on top of the pile.
It looked, I thought it was, you know, a Foreman, so it looked a lot more obvious that they didn't, but I guess they got it. Anyways.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, let's talk. We're going to talk Ricky Quest just for a minute. Not just for a minute, and then we'll wrap up. So Ryan did a redraft article. I kind of like the way that's done. So starting with quarterbacks, just would you take them and where they were at, and then if not, where would you put them in the class? So Bryce Young 101, I would not take Bryce Young at the 101. I think that, you know, there's still hope here. He doesn't have a lot of help around him receiver wise or anything like that, but the way that CJ Stroud has performed, you can't, there's no question that he would be the 101 in this class. I think
Stroud was always my 101 for the NFL.
We're going by the NFL draft standard.
Yeah. I still think Young would be a top 5 pick. As you said, Hopper, that the Panthers have given him absolutely nothing. The offensive line was supposed to be a strong point. One of the worst in the league. They have no receiving option. You know,
touchdown Foreman.
Great touchdown by Foreman. His only help has been, you know, Thielen. That's it.
That's it.
No, it's been bad, and he'll get a bad rap, and you know, it is what it is. And he'll be, you'll compare to Stroud because, you know, 1 and 2. Richardson would probably still go ahead of him though, I think. But he's also been hurt.
Yeah,
for the majority of the year. No, he's out for the rest of the year, so who knows?
I think you could argue those two in any order, and then I think you would still have Levis behind it. I think the biggest jump here is that Stroud goes to 101, then you have Young or Richardson in order, Levis behind that, and then I think as you go further down and look at these other guys, you know, we haven't seen Hendon Hooker.
Probably won't.
Or Jake Haner, Stetson Bennett being away from the Rams. That was always a reach to begin with. Aiden O'Connell with the Raiders.
He's looked better than Jimmy, which is not saying much, but.
Well, I think O'Connell, he was a 4th round pick. I don't know if you bump him up into the 3rd round where Hooker went. But
was he a 4th rounder?
He was a 4th rounder. 33rd pick. So I don't know. What do you do with the, I think one game's jury's still out, but I think he's fine.
I thought he was like a 6th rounder. That's why.
He was a 4th. Okay. So I think that you keep him right there. Clayton Toon, DTR, 1 game apiece, didn't look great, but earned a look at least as 5th rounders. You're fine with that. You got a half quarter of Jaren Hall. I think the other big change to the quarterback class is Tyson Bajan's drafted if you're redrafting today. Probably as a
4th. Oh, absolutely.
He's probably a 4th rounder, right? Early day of 3. Levis is probably, I think, a 1st rounder instead of a very early
second.
Yeah. I think he probably goes where Pickett went last year in the early 20s.
Yep.
And rightfully so. I think what we could be talking about at the end of the year is probably him being a top 10 pick. Mm-hmm. Just because of the, you know, of the upside, which is something that we all knew we had. It's just the between the ears and everything else still remains to be seen, but he's looked a lot more polished than I thought he would look at this point.
I think so too. And quite honestly, first 10 games into their careers, I think the
fucking Shroud, man. My God.
I think this quarterback class has been about what we expected it to be.
21. This looks like what the 21 class
was.
Should have been looking like.
This is, I think this is better than what I thought it'd be. To be honest.
Oh, yeah.
I thought this was supposed to be what the 21 class is supposed to be, which has been a dumpster fire, in my opinion. Yeah,
absolute garbage.
Yeah, yes. Like, especially the hype around it. This has been a very, very good class so
far. Quarterback class has been solid, led by CJ Stroud, but it's been solid. Bryce Young has not been phenomenal, but, you know, the performances of Levis and Richardson and you know, guys like O'Connell, Bajent further down the line have been.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to find a lot more, I think, long-term, you know, play for sure.
All right, running backs. Bijan's not a first rounder.
It's not his fault, no. Dude. I'm telling
Arthur Smith hates us. Arthur Smith hates plays. Like,
I think Hopper's got a point, and Hopper's always been quietly mum on Bijan, but Arthur Smith's comments about the whole situation and trying to justify the draft capital they spent on him, it's first off, no running back should be a first round pick. I will be 1000% very transparent about it. No running back should be a first round pick.
Yeah.
It's not Bijan's fault that he was a top 8 pick. It's not.
No.
And Gibbs was a top 15.
Or that he hasn't been used, but, you know, everyone anointed
him. Top 12.
Top 12. Anointed the dynasty RB1. And I think very few people would agree that he is that right now.
No.
But, you know, him and Gibbs both should be in the second round given how they've been used. You know, I don't know that I flip flop the spots yet because I would like to see Bijan get a real chance before I do that. I think Gibbs has been more productive. I think the big thing that changes here is that A-Chain is, you know, more upper third into the second round over like a Charbonnet.
I think he's in the best, it's like he's in a dream location too.
Yeah, he couldn't have landed better.
Yeah.
And beyond that, this class has been kind of disappointing. I mean, you haven't gotten Gibbs has been good when given an opportunity and looked like the best of the bunch. Probably Bijan's been solid, hasn't really been given the opportunity. Other than that, Charbonnet has been in purgatory. Miller's not. Nobody's ran away with the second running back job in New Orleans, and Spears is getting snap count, but. You know, there's really nothing else in this class that's taken off yet.
Ryan, has there been any rumblings out of Detroit about Montgomery's role after the Gibbs kind of blew up the last couple of weeks?
We talked about it's this going, in the intro. Yeah. I think it's going to be the same.
Okay.
It's going to go right. It's going to go back. I would agree to.
Yeah. Right okay. back to what it was.
And that's, again, another problem with. Again, it's not Gibbs or Robinson's fault, right? It's the team's fault for drafting them as high as they have and not utilize them in the way that we think that they should, just based off of what we know about first round picks, right? You know, right. Gibbs should be used more, but the Lions are 6-2. Like, how much have they been very successful?
And my argument earlier was that you can give Gibbs 12 touches a game and he can be flexed RB2 valuable because of how explosive he is and the receiving ability.
Use them both.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they're going to do. I mean,
but Monty and Gibbs on the field.
They will.
But
right.
Like Chris and I talked about that earlier. Like, remember like with Monty out, Gibbs was in, but it wasn't just him by himself. It was Craig Reynolds there too.
Right.
And Craig Reynolds was getting a lot of carries also. So it's like, this is how this offense rolls. They want to have a 2 running back system. 3 in if, like, you know, both need a nice breather. But it's like, that's just how it's going to be. And people are going to be pissed about it. Be like, oh my God, Gibbs is so much better. Look how much more efficient he is with his carries. He's done it with less carries. He has more yards, but he doesn't have the touchdowns. He can't get in that goal line carry like David Montgomery can.
And he will just wait for another year, right? Like, you don't have to have these guys be heavy usage. You're like yeah. Gibbs does not have the size to be a 350 real touch guy. You know what? That's okay.
Real quick, yeah, exactly. They just showed a graphic on the screen of notable quarterbacks for their first starts. This goes back to the Bryce Young point about it being okay. too early. Yeah. You had Goff at 0-7, Burrow was 1-5-1, Lawrence was, I think, 2-6, right? So
Urban Meyer, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean that's a great graphic to show because good quarterbacks go into bad teams and Stroud's just
Peyton Manning went 3-13 his rookie year, guys. Yep. And he threw more interceptions and touchdowns.
Yep.
Just saying.
Yeah. But
that's also a different era in football too.
Just saying, Ryan.
Yeah. I think this running back class has been about as disappointing as we expected it to be.
Miller Hopper and Roshan obviously hasn't done shit either with his opportunity in Chicago, but I don't know if I'm that shocked. It was always, you know, Gibbs and Robinson, yeah. right? And that's it.
I'm not saying that from a shock point. My like for Miller was more so there's got to be somebody that you like as your three, right? And
yeah,
you got to rank it. You're ranking them somehow, and you got the same number of draft picks every year in a league, regardless of how many people true. In the draft class Very are true. Good. Yep. So you got to anoint somebody, even if you don't think it's great. And, Deuce Vaughn is another guy to highlight, though, is somebody that people expected to have this usable role, and he hasn't. So,
that's shit. Yeah. At least with the running backs not doing his ball, the tight ends have picked up his slack because I don't think I've seen a better tight end class ever.
No.
Especially when it comes to fantasy, I don't think we've ever seen.
You want to
as
jump
good
there
of a tight end class for production. I'm just saying, I'm trying to like you know, foreshadow. I don't want to. I'm leaving it up for you, buddy. We're just gonna wait.
No, I'll transition that. We can do receivers last. Let's look at the tight ends. So you're absolutely right. The tight end class where you normally don't have people that produce in year one, you've got at least three guys producing in year one. Dalton Kincaid, who I think was consensus one by the end of the process, is done everything you would want to see in Dawson Knox's absence and been on the field when Knox is around. Sam LaPorta has been, I mean, people were expecting.
How do you want in dynasty, baby?
But he's LaPorta. Been, yeah, he's been way better than I think you could have even imagined if you liked him in year one, if you're being realistic about tight end expectations.
I agree.
Michael Mayer's been all right. And Luke Musgrave's the other guy in Green Bay who's made some noise. So, you know, this is a class that, you know, right now you've got four guys potentially that look like they're decent relevant and it's an infusion that was needed. And then you've got some other guys like Schoonmaker that started hurt, you know, that could come on in the years to come. Like, this was an athletic tight end class that was a real strength of the draft and they've performed.
1000%. It's been just amazing, right? If it's, you know, it started out with LaPorta, then as you mentioned, Hopper, with you know with Knox getting banged up, and Kincaid has been just as you know efficient and a floor performance with good ceiling to him. And you got Michael Mayer potentially out there, you know, with the Raiders. It's what we needed. From, you know, disappointing classes from before, from the 17 class to the 19 class, we're finally getting that tight end renaissance that we've been fucking aching for.
Yeah.
Yep.
100%. And then with, you know, Cole Kmet breaking out and, you know, you are going to get some of that, right? Every year we talk about, you know, it could be 3 or 4 years before tight ends hit. And, you know, you've got, I mean, Evan Engram was a second team breakout, right?
And look at Kate Otten right now.
Greg Olsen way back.
Kate Otten, Greg Olsen way back when. Jonnu Smith right now is like third team.
God damn you, fucking Arthur Smith, man.
Oh, having a great run. Never mind Kyle Pitts, but
Taysom Hill.
Fuck Taysom Hill. But yeah, Taysom Hill. He's the same guy every year, Ryan. Throws some touchdowns. No, he steals all the rushing touchdowns.
He is different this year.
He's built different. He's built differently.
He's on a hot streak.
Not a pro Taysom Hill show.
Not
read the room.
Well, this guy is.
Not a pro Saints
room. I don't read rooms. I just come in and say what I want.
Ryan's like, I'm too poor to read.
Yeah.
Let's see. Njoku's has been solid. We've gotten some good.
He's been a guy.
Yeah, he's been a guy. Which sometimes that's fine.
Throw that. Hey, he's also overcome a lot too. You know, just given his offseason selling problems.
Well, Dalton Schultz has proven to be not just, you know, Cowboys material.
Schultz, yeah. The rise of Stroud, obviously, it's going to make things great.
By the way, did you see that video I sent Dan about, because they're showing him on TV, about Tyson Bajan's father?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I thought it was his brother. So, but no, but either way, it's been, it's incredible, man. Like, Bajan is going to be just a legend because of his dad and because of his sleeve, I guess.
His dad's just hanging out arm wrestling people on the side of NFL Today or whatever.
He's like, I don't give a fuck. Yeah. My son's doing things that are incredible. I'm gonna arm wrestle the wide receiver coach.
Yeah, against all in the L. Nice. They're showing his wins.
No, that play was a little weird. Why didn't you dump it off to Foreman? I'm literally right there with nobody around him.
Watching the referee.
It's just easier.
Cousin that referee.
He just wanted to run for 1 yard. Yeah.
World Arm Wrestling League. No, seriously, I got a cousin that's right.
Who the fuck is 15? You guys have a white receiver?
Yeah, Trent Taylor.
Trent Taylor, that's right. That's right.
Yes, we have a white receiver. Every team's got to have one.
I'm just shocked by it.
All right, wide receiver class. So that I can watch the Bears finish losing. Kind of meh. I think Jordan Addison's been really good and. Beyond that, it's been, I mean, Tank Dell's been solid as a third rounder. And then other than that, you've got some guys that have been low consistent, some guys that have flashed, and some guys that have been not a lot. I think that Addison's your first receiver off the board if you're redrafting today. But
I would agree, yeah.
There were four guys that could have been, so, and that went within four picks of each other, right? So, how much are you arguing with that? If I were to reorder it, it would probably be Addison, Flowers, JSN, and Johnson based on your one performance.
I think I would still go JSN. I mean, JSN's obviously found his stride too the last few weeks.
Yeah, he's starting to come on.
With Addison, has been obviously the departure of, you know, Jefferson and all the offense has responded to the loss.
But he still did with Dobbs.
Yeah. It's like they're tied. Like, no one should be shocked that those two have been one of your more productive rookie receivers. Say Flowers, I think it's more so of the Baltimore offense and how they use them. He's been very
solid yardage wise.
He's very short area wise,
but he's
very,
very
much Waddle. He's rookie season Waddle Hopper. That's where he's pretty much in Ryan. That's basically him right now. It's low A dot screens, whatever. Just let him make a play.
Yeah.
And hopefully Flowers can be used a little bit more as a true receiver next year.
Johnson's been invisible even with targets.
That's
what we're worried about with him.
I think we're seeing, and I know it's very soon, you know, 10 games into his career, but
he's showing
we're witnessing. It's like he's getting passed by guys below him too now.
Jalen Guyton's going past him.
Yeah, it's not looking good for Johnson. He's looking more like N'Keal Harry than
I mean, we
the fuck else he was compared to.
Can't tell if DJ Moore is hurt or pissed.
Why not both?
It could be both. I mean, they just ran up the middle on fourth and I guess it was fourth and 19 from inside of their own 20. But oh my god, did that punt not even make the 50-yard line?
I think they're very close.
No, it's at the 40.
I'm waiting. Oh my god! I mean, the Bears are just being like
Bears are being
bad entertainment. Let's see. It was not a. Looked okay.
That punt didn't even make midfield.
Yep, it's at the 40. Their own 40. It went 30 yards, maybe.
That is, I could punt it that far. What that the sucks. Hell?
Let's right. see if this, okay, that's all the penalty.
That was bad. Anyway, yes. Johnson's been invisible. I think that
not good.
You can make an argument to have him back in that second, third round area based on his year one performance behind, you know, Jaden Reed, Rashi Rice, Mims, the Tank Dell. But ahead of like Hyatt and Tillman on talent alone, Josh Downs, I think, is probably your biggest riser right now.
I would agree. Massive.
Probably. I would agree completely.
He would have been, he would be easily up into the early part of the second round based on his performance.
Yeah. It's Johnson.
Oh,
yeah.
No, sorry. He is not the biggest riser. Puka Nacua would be your biggest
Puka.
Riser.
Puka is probably easily a day two. Easily. I don't think first round because his efficiency numbers. At least from what I've seen, you know, based off of what PFF has been posting, he's above, he's average above average.
I think,
but I think he's a very solid two. He should go where Cup probably would have gone.
He
would be,
yeah,
low second round pick, which is so very good.
I mean, honestly, you look at the guys that were in the second round, it was Mingo, Reed, Rashi Rice. I have no problem. Because I think Mingo, you'd drop if you were to redo this. I have no problem taking him around where Reed and Rice went. In that mid-second round.
Do you think any of these receivers should have been a first-rounder? Just, I mean, I get it, right? Jordan Addison has been a very good number two. Jason's been a very good number two. Probably could be a one. But none of these guys had a true upside. I mean, like, your best receivers was just undersized twos.
So it's a passing league, and you're still going to have teams try to get...
They went late first, which is probably where they
should
have gotten
in
the first
draft. I think if I were redoing it, Addison and JSN are still late first.
Flowers is probably a high second.
Flowers is a high second.
Yeah.
Johnston's probably down in the third. And I think guys...
At the best.
I think Mingo's down in the third or the fourth.
Mingo and Johnson are a lot closer.
Yeah,
I think they're both. I think they're. I'm fine with taking a chance on those late second, just because of the athletic ability and do you trust your coaching staff to, you know, coach him up, which is effectively not happening now, right?
Yeah,
not getting like Johnson. You know, can't run a route for shit.
Yep,
it's on him, but it's also on your coaching staff for not trying to make him better.
Yeah. Puka Nacua is the lowest drafted wide receiver here that gets a bump, and I think he easily gets bumped up into the second for me, given the fact that you had Marvin Mims there and Rashi Rice. Tank Dell probably goes up around into the second, back in second. I think that the second and third round is where these wide receivers should have been concentrated. I think you should have seen a push there for, you know, Flowers should have been a second, Johnson maybe a low third right now to coach him up. Downs should have been up higher in the second. Reed, Rice, Dell, like they've all shown some good stuff. Like you've got fantasy relevant pieces here. I don't think you have the superstar, all-star, wide receiver one, Justin
which
Jefferson,
we're gonna
Jamar
get.
Chase,
yeah.
or anything in
well,
this class,
yeah.
and you weren't going to get it. So
no.
I mentioned earlier another shout out to Michael Wilson in the third, who's I think not done anything to hurt himself either, staying right on that and should elevate a bit with Kyler back. And I think there's a huge drop off, just like there was in the draft after that run of talent. Nobody other than Nacua, nobody, you know, beyond that third round, with Michael Wilson going at the very end has done much yet. Darius Davis has gotten a little bit of run, but nobody's really done anything down beyond that. So
we'll see what Cedric Tillman will do with his opportunity now in Cleveland with the trade of DBJ, but he had one target this past week, so you can't really say much. Hyatt's in just a very bad situation in New York, and it sure is a lot of day two talent. I think I think the lesson here is a lot of day two, maybe not any day one. You know, Quentin Johnson's a guy you take a chance on, but obviously that's
way too early.
Very bad right now.
Yep, your day one talents, and I still think we're JSN and Addison, and that's it. Yeah, out of the wide receiver class, I think that All right, that's the show. Yeah, that's the show.
That's the show.
Thank you guys for tuning in, and we will be back next week for something or another.
Looking forward to it.
It got me out of things I didn't want to do.